For a strange time of year, next Sunday is Christmas Day. I've got to ask, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? What do you believe is going to happen in a week's time? So I still need these to read, but I can't see you. What do you think is going to happen? Is it a time to spend with family? Are you expecting presents? Or is this year different because of the cost of living, the cost of gas and electricity? Does it mean you've been saving up to have a bit more heat on next weekend? What are you expecting? Obviously not a lot. I think Christmas could be different for some people this year, but, you know, it's a time to give, the time to share. You know, if we've been considering in our songs this morning the remarkable events surrounding this time of year. Whereas Nikki's very precious Bible study on Thursday, whatever time of year that was. But for us, the 25th of December, we remember the birth of Christ. Although, you know, surrounded, you know, the traditions we've grown up with, we're very much conditioned and encouraged through the media and commercial exploitation to maintain the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. Where does that sit in the order of things? After you've seen the John Lewis video and the Waitrose video and the Marks and Spencer's video, which is all about food, all about buying expensive things, you know, does it all get lost? We can sing about the birth of the Messiah, but what does that mean to you and me today? Or have we got to do this meal? Or have we got to get those presents? What is it? You know, Psalm 25:14. I came across this precious verse. Tells us that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. It's a secret, brothers and sisters. A secret. We know the secret. We know that Jesus was born. The secret. Not that the world sees. The world sees it as a winter celebration. A time to get the retail figures up. We know. We know the secret. And the birth of Jesus was not simply a random event, but it was planned and precise. You know, Matthew says there are 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the captivity in Babylon, and 14 generations from the captivity of Babylon to the birth of Christ. To the very day. Wow. Think that was planned? That's generations upon generations. You know, I have problems remembering what I did last week. But we're talking about generations. That there's a plan and purpose of God for Christ to be born. Should that not be such a time of celebration? Such a time of rejoicing? And not overshadowed by the things around about us? Now, Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" You know, after 400 silent years. Shall you not know a time of new beginnings? A time of miracles and wonders and signs of God's faithfulness, his love and his mercy to mankind, to us. Christ has come. Now, let's start at the beginning. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. Is that true today? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, what a time of celebration. What a time of rejoicing. The promised Saviour has come. Now, during what's known as the 400 silent years, those who believed in God and his written word constantly looked with anticipation for the fulfillment of the prophecies of Christ's birth, which had been handed down from generation to generation, as such as Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, in order to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. You know, those who love the Lord would have had these in their heart, looking for the fulfillment. You know, as we look for fulfillment of prophecies that's been given to us as individuals, for our families, for our fellowship, for our community, these folk were still looking. We're still looking. Prophecies so long awaited by people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. Prophecy which over time can become really kind of hard to believe. Will God still do it? You know, can these things really be? Are they figments of our imagination? Over years. But we believe that the word of the Lord won't refer to him void, but it will perform that which he's intended it to. Amen. In Luke 1:13, let's just read the story. Nikki told us on Thursday that Zechariah was in the temple because it was his turn to minister to God. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Now, Zechariah would have known the prophecy of Micah, when he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." You know, just imagine this angel saying to Zechariah, and he will come in the power of Elijah. 400 silent years. And Zechariah saying, wow, this is what Micah prophesied. And the angel's telling me that this is going to happen. And the angel's telling me that this will happen in my son. And they were given the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Not the desire of our hearts, that we may know that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that God will do something new. They prepare a people to come to him, to know him for the very first time. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. What an event. You know, we read it so quickly, but we know in our hearts what God has said to us as a people. Do we look for the fulfillment of what he's promised us? The prophecies which he's given to us? When everything around us denies it. Because of the darkness we live in. But Jesus is the light of the world. Will his promises change? Will his promises come to naught? Or are his promises faithful and true? Are they the substance of what we believe, that our God is able, that our God is coming? Scripture tells us to seek and we shall find, to ask and it shall be opened unto you. Suddenly, when you least expect it, God's promises are fulfilled. Zechariah, suddenly, when he least expected it. Wow, what a thing to be told. Blessed is me that he was a man in his old age. Funny old thing, we're all getting older every day. God is no respecter of persons, is he? What he's promised, you and me, he'll fulfill. You know, let's look at some of what God's promised. Let me just read you some scripture. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. It struck me, shouldn't that be what we're hearing today? We're favored ones, for the Lord is with us. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. With God, nothing is impossible. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they come together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet." 700 years before? I don't know. Luke 2 said, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly," wow, "suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another," cool, "I bet they said one to another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." Wow, what a time of rejoicing, brothers and sisters. You know, just as I don't want us to take the breaking of bread for granted, I don't want us to take Christmas for granted. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of fulfillment of prophecy for years. Can God do a new thing amongst us? Yeah. Jesus was and is the fulfillment of prophecy. You know, Luke 2 tells us that when the baby Jesus was taken to the temple, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Simeon had waited for the fulfillment of prophecy. And also there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption of Israel. The redemption of Jerusalem, rather. You know? All the years, the word still burned in their hearts. That it was a truth. That it was a reality. That it was something they hadn't yet seen, but something they would see. You know, we've got to stir up the gift that's within us. We know the secret that Jesus has forgiven our sins and that we have newness of life. You know, do we walk around as men and women who don't know that newness of life? There should be singing and dancing in victory in our lives because Christ has come to us. You know, the prophecies that I've read, not only regarding the birth, but Isaiah also prophesies about the life of Jesus. You know, and Jesus quotes in the synagogue, you know, in Nazareth, let me just read it to you. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Are we not such people? Are we not in need of what Jesus read? Heal the brokenhearted. Give sight to the blind. To proclaim liberty to those who are bound. And when he had closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, the prophet Isaiah's words of prophecy have come to fruition. This today is a reality. This is what it meant. This is what the prophet prophesied 700 years ago is a reality to you and me today. What is he saying to our hearts this morning? But also, the prophet Isaiah prophesies about the death of Jesus. It says in Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities." Yeah? We remember that in the breaking of bread. "And the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah's prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus, from his birth, through his life, to his death. to say that God's promise is faithful for the redemption of his people. You know, a prophecy for us as we anticipate Christmas Day. You know, we're reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and we are the whosoever, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. I was reading Catherine Marshall's The Helper this morning, and today's portion was all about having a new body and being in a new relationship with the Lord Jesus in heavenly places, that we have a hope. Not our decaying mortal bodies, but a new body in the Spirit with Jesus for eternity. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, what the shepherds saw out on those hills is going to be nothing compared with the glory that we will see when we see him face to face. Is that our hope? Is that your hope? Is that my hope? Is it a reality to me? Is it a living hope? But what of us? What's the promise for us? When Peter 2 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What joy is ours? A time of great rejoicing. Christmas Day should be a time of great rejoicing as we remember Jesus' birth with thanksgiving in our hearts. What a God we serve. Who is a God like unto our God? Who can compare with Jesus? You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Our faith is based on Jesus. And that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, the evidence of things which we will see, the evidence of things which will come suddenly to us. Sometimes the pressures and the events of life overwhelm us. But Jesus is the glory and the lifter of our heads. You know, all my bits of paper, I'm in a mess this morning. He said, right at the beginning, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And we sang earlier, I know not all your plans, but I know I'm in your hands. And that's the long and short of it, brothers and sisters. We don't know what God's plans and purposes for us. We've read that his plans for Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age, for Abraham and Sarah in their old age. You know, in the natural order of things, we get old. In the natural order of things, we retire. But God never stops working on us because he's working out his plans and purposes. They didn't go to a certain age. They go to eternity. For his plans and purposes for us are being worked out. And he hasn't finished yet. Behold, I will do a new thing amongst you. And now shall it spring forth, and shall you not know it? Amen. where it's been a challenge to me. I pray it'll be a challenge to you too. Things don't happen by chance. God's working his purposes out. And as we contemplate the truth that Jesus is doing a new thing amongst us, you know, I just want to share with you, in the light of God doing a new thing amongst us, that I just want to share with you this morning that, you know, I believe it's now time for me to step down from the leadership team at the end of this year. You know, give space for our leadership team to grow in the strength of the Holy Spirit and to do exploits. We want to see exploits. You know, whilst I intend to carry on for a while as church treasurer until a replacement can be found, or as with me, being encouraged to take it on because there's no one else. You know, I just want to say that, you know, being part of the leadership of this fellowship over the years has been a huge privilege, a huge challenge, and a huge encouragement to me in my life, my walk with the Lord, over the years that I've been privileged to be a church elder. You know, it's been a delight to serve in leadership and bring the word of the Lord. You know, ever since, you might not remember this, but ever since Ken stopped me, I was walking down Albert Road and he was driving up Albert Road and he leaned out the window and he said, "Well, Rich, I'd like you to preach sometime." Well, it was the best part of another year from that time. But I know being able to lead the praise and worship, which was a real privilege, and to be able to bring the word of the Lord has been a delight. Because reading the word is one thing, speaking it with conviction is another thing. And once you speak the word, you're held accountable for it. You know, you live it, you speak it, you live it. And that's been a challenge for me, and I've been grateful for all of your encouragement and support. You know, God is faithful in the way he leads us, the way he's led me with his gentle hand. You know, and I stand testimony of God's graciousness, his mercy, his love. And I just want to thank you for that, brothers and sisters. And we will meet next Sunday. We have a prayer meeting Tuesday night, but we'll meet next Sunday morning, to rejoice that we know the secret, that Jesus lives.